Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Kim, and I am reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Tuesday, May 17th. Court reviews ARPA money. Grantworks representative to deliver Austin firm's recommendations. Ector County Commissioners will hold a special 10:30 a.m. Wednesday meeting to consider their disbursements of $16 million from the American Rescue Plan Act and hear County Elections Administrator Lisa Sertuch's presentation on canvassing votes from the May 7th State Constitutional Amendments election. The court has hired an Austin consultancy firm, Grantworks, to review the various requests, including one for $7 million from Medical Center Hospital for staffing and supplies, and the county's own needs, and a Grantworks representative will discuss those recommendations. Concerning the federal funds, said Precinct 4 Commissioner Armando Rodriguez Monday, the county is scheduled to get another $16 million in ARPA money from the U.S. Treasury Department this summer. They will tell us what can be used and what cannot and how to go about it, Rodriguez said. Dustin Fawcett, GOP nominee for Ector County Judge, said he's glad to hear that the county has decided to meet on the American Rescue Plan. This has been, in my opinion, long overdue, but it's better late than never. I'm glad that we're going to discuss the issues and how to properly allocate the funding. The Commissioner's Court has so far reimbursed the county $10 million, which is the maximum allowable according to the Treasury for counties of our size. Then about $1 million has been used for IT improvements in the courthouse for the district judges. So right now, we've got about $21 million left to allocate. And so the meeting on Wednesday, it has come up. I'm glad to hear it's happening, Fawcett said. He said he was a little bit concerned. That is the first public workshop they've had to discuss ARPA. So I really think we need to be looking at all the different possibilities of allocating funds. I do think that water infrastructure should be looked at, and we should allocate funding toward ECUD. But we should also be looking at the other water district, which is the Gardendale Water District up there in Gardendale, because they have needs also. I believe they'll be putting in a request, but as far as I'm concerned, I think when it comes to allocating the money, we need to be judicious about it, especially with ECUD. I think everybody agrees there's a need, but I think before we address that need, we need to have that taxing entity, which is a taxing entity on ECUD residents. We need to see their financials for the past several years, and also I think we need to make sure that we have an external audit done. That way we do our due diligence in making sure that all the money that has been collected by ECUD has been spent on proper projects, has been allocated properly, and has been done according to their master plans. That way, we feel confident giving any bulk sum of money to that entity, which I believe is the same way we should handle any of the ARPA allocations, Fawcett said. He said the county needs to be judicious about any entity that they give the funds to, and we need to make sure that we have thorough discussions about spending this money with both the public and the commissioners and the different stakeholders, Fawcett said. He added that he believes the first round of funding has to be spent by 2024, and then the money that arrives here in the next few weeks needs to be spent by 2025 or 26. So we're not in any rush, and these are long-term projects. And because we're not in any rush, and these are long-term projects, I believe that the commissioners really need to think these things through, discuss these things thoroughly, and truly see these funds are an investment opportunity in the future, not just expenditures, Fawcett said. Medical Center Hospital has come before the commissioners and the city council discussing a plan of how, if the city or the county were to use the ARPA funds and give the funds to the hospital, the hospital could use those funds when seeking reimbursement from FEMA. FEMA would then reimburse the hospital, and the hospital would then reimburse the city or county, he said. The city allocated $3 million toward MCH and the $1 million toward ORMC. MCH is in the final stages of receiving that check back from FEMA. I want to be clear, it's not just going to into their general fund. This money will specifically be used to counteract the contract labor spike that the hospital had, which was to the tune of $20 million to date, that Medical Center Hospital has had to incur through contract labor because of the huge need for nurses during COVID and those who left to become travel nurses. That money that I'm talking about would specifically go to pay back the hospital for that large expense that they incurred due to contract labor, which is to the tune of $20 million, Fawcett said. He added that he wants transparency about who the funds are given to and what they spend it on. Healthcare, water, and broadband are the three major areas that counties have spent these funds on, he said. Fawcett said he will attend the meeting Wednesday. He doesn't plan on speaking, but he plans to listen. I think that I originally had worries because of the way the agenda item was listed, and it says they can act versus it being purely a workshop. That's my biggest worry, is that we rush into this versus having overall discussions. Lubbock County to date has had, I think, at least 16 or 17 workshops for ARPA, Fawcett said. I would like to see us at least trend in that direction and put these workshops where the community puts out input about what they'd like to see. I think folks would like to see broadband. I think folks would like to see water in West Odessa. But Ector County also entails the city of Odessa. They are not mutually exclusive. They are tied together, and we need to understand also that the hospital benefits all citizens of Ector County, even the entire Permian Basin. So I think these are valid discussions, Fawcett added. In other business, the commissioners will consider an offer to restore the historic Henderson House at 915 North Allegheny Avenue and review a Precinct 4 tax abatement application from the GCC Permian Company, a cement company that wants to expand. Celebration Breakfast. STEM Academy FETS Top 5 Students. In honor of their accomplishments, University of Texas Permian Basin STEM Academy honored its top 5 students Monday in the Science and Technology Building on the university campus. Graduation is set for 7 p.m. May 27th at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center. The senior class has 38 students. When STEM had its first graduating class last year, Principal Cody Griffin said he knew almost every single one of the students and their post-high school plans. "I get to continue that distinction of knowing these kids very well," Griffin said. He added that he has met nearly every student and their parents on more than one occasion. "It's an honor for a public educator. You can't say that in really, really large schools, and that's one of the advantages of being in our school," Griffin said. Rachel Wilson, 18, and the valedictorian of the class, plans to attend University of Texas San Antonio Honors College to study architecture, and Savannah McKay, 18, and number 4 in the class, is going to Missouri University of Science and Technology in Rolla to study civil engineering. "I'm really excited and proud of everyone and all of their hard work. From freshman year, it's been the goal," Wilson said. McKay said she feels that all the time and energy that they put into their work is being represented in a positive way. Wilson has been at STEM since fifth grade, and McKay has attended since sophomore year. "It's been an experience," Wilson said. "It's definitely been very beneficial to me. I think that everything that I've done there is going to help me in my future, and that there's memories that I will carry forever." McKay said out of all the schools that she's been to, STEM has provided her the most opportunities and most lifelong friendships and relationships. Hagen Miller, 17, is graduating a year early and plans to attend UTPB to major in history and minor in education with the goal of teaching history. Miller, who will be a Capital Page in Austin this summer, has been attending STEM for 8 years. He said he wasn't constantly thinking about making the top five, and he didn't slack. It just kind of happened. I think the bigger things that I always tried to do was to do as many dual credit courses as possible, and that just in turn gave me enough credits to do both of these, graduate early, and earn a top five spot, Miller said. That's the bigger note there, is that I tried to do as much dual credit as humanly possible, he added. The work I put in yesterday has definitely benefited me today, especially with the college courses, because I'm so far ahead of where I would be, and this is just a sign of the hard work. So it definitely has been worth it, he said. Miller, ranked number 3, said STEM Academy was always the best fit for him. The staff alone, they put so much love into their lessons, and the school is just designed so well in comparison to the bigger high schools. I could never have seen myself fitting in anywhere else, Miller said. Salutatorian Grace Herrera, 18, will also go to UTPB to study biology, but she plans to become a speech pathologist. I'm really honored and I'm excited, Herrera said of her ranking. She has been attending STEM Academy since 7th grade. Getting into the top five was something she had gone for since she started high school, so she started taking dual credit classes and going for A's. Herrera said she really enjoyed STEM Academy and the project-based learning. I feel like that helped me a lot. You get a lot of team-building skills from it. I liked being able to take dual credit, too, to get a lot of college out of the way, she added. She said the small class size has been helpful because you get more one-on-one time with teachers and you can get help more easily. Jada Wilson, 18, number 5 in the class, also plans to attend UTPB and wants to be a teacher. I'm just happy I got this far, Wilson said of being in the top 5. She has been going to STEM Academy since 6th grade. I love it. I like how everybody is so close to each other, Wilson said. She noted that the small class size is helpful because you know everyone, whereas at the larger high schools, there are thousands of students. ECISD to consider Bonham principal. The Ector County ISD Board of Trustees will vote on hiring a principal for Bonham Middle School following a closed session. This is among the items on the agenda for the 6 p.m. meeting today in the first floor boardroom of the ECISD Administration Building, 801 North Sam Houston Avenue. The acting principal at Bonham is Juan Dominguez. The principal, Marika Austin, was on administrative leave but had resigned, Chief of Schools Keeley Simpson said. Trustees also will canvass the vote from the May 7th bond election, consider the redistricting plan and possible effective date, and an employee compensation plan. Each year, ECISD's Human Capital Department and the Texas Association of School Boards, TASB, conducts a salary maintenance study to try to ensure the compensation schedule is competitive with other school districts and local markets. Superintendent Scott Murray made 5 compensation recommendations to trustees during their workshop meeting Tuesday. 3% of midpoint pay increase for all campus-based professionals. A new starting teacher salary of $58,750. Murray said this would make ECISD one of the, if not the highest paying districts in the region. In his media call last week, Murray said compensation is a key piece of recruiting and retaining highly effective team members. ECISD has focused on raising money and improving benefits for employees, he said. In 2018-19, teachers started at $44,500, and after the passage of the tax ratification election, the starting salary was $54,250. 2% of midpoint pay increase for all central office professionals, the board recap said. 4% of midpoint pay increase for all hourly employees, school-based or central office, the recap said, implementing a new $15 minimum wage for hourly employees. Murray said the current minimum wage is $12.65 per hour. Executive Director of Human Resources, Stacy Ashley, has said the 3% increase affects teachers, nurses, media specialists, counselors, principals, associate principals, assistant principals, and dean of students. Those impacted by the 2% increase are central office administration exempt employees, such as directors, coordinators, supervisors, specialists, executive directors, associate superintendents, chief of schools, chief financial officer, chief technology officer, administrative professionals, and special education staff. The 4% increase affects custodians, maintenance, school nutrition, transportation, police, technology, instructional support, aides, certified nurse assistants, opportunity culture, reach associate, teacher residents, and instructional facilitators. Also, clerical support, clerks, registrars, administrative assistants, specialists, and receptionists. Additional areas of compensation for 2022-23 are the teacher incentive allotment, opportunity culture, working at a RISE campus, Burnett Elementary and Bowie Middle School. There are also stipend and supplemental pay. ECISD's proposed $398 million bond failed May 7th. Unofficial results were 61.45% or 4,786 votes against Proposition A and 38.55% or 3,003 votes in favor. On Proposition B, 64.75% or 5,043 voted against it and 35.25% or 2,746 voted in favor. There were 7,826 voters out of 82,257 or 9.48%. Proposition A for $215,255,000 would have included maintenance and life cycle repairs replacement for school district buildings, $130,255,000. This would have been various projects for electrical, mechanical, plumbing, fire, and life safety, and others at schools and auxiliary buildings. It also included construction of a new $70 million career and technical education center, which would include classroom and lab space for programs like welding, construction, health science, automation, and process technology, HVAC, plumbing, and others, estimated at 150,000 square feet, includes furniture, fixtures, and equipment. Classroom technology upgrades for $15 million would include classroom and or campus audiovisual and multimedia refresh or additions. Proposition B for $183 million was for a new comprehensive high school designated for 2,500 to 2,800 students. It would have covered an estimated 400,000 square feet and include furniture, fixtures, and equipment. Special presentations include the introduction of paraprofessional to teacher candidates, announcement of ECISD Memorial Scholarship recipients, and recognition of the valedictorians and salutatorians from Odessa High School, Permian High School, George H.W. Bush New Tech High School, OC Techs, and Odessa Collegiate Academy. Quick hits, free drive-through COVID-19 tests. The City of Odessa Incident Command is partnering with Curative to offer the COVID-19 PCR test drive-through from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Monday through Friday at the corner of 2nd Street and Grant Avenue. Insurance information will be requested. If no insurance, tests will be free. To book an appointment, visit curative.com. Early voting. Hector County's early voting schedule on May 24th for the general joint primary runoff election. The following locations will be open during early voting only through May 20th. Ector County Courthouse Annex, 1010 East 8th Street, from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Branch locations from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Kellis Turner Community Building, 2230 Sycamore Drive. MCM Elegante, Hawaiian Ballroom, 5200 East University Boulevard. The Globe Theater at Odessa College, 2308 Shakespeare Road, and Salas Community Building, 600 West Clements Street. Election Day is May 24th. Polls are open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. For more information, call 432-498-4030 or visit tinyurl.com/2p8e2pf5. History of Gardening. Permian Basin Master Gardeners has scheduled the History of Gardening from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. May 16th and from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. May 17th at Midland County Extension Office, 2445 East Highway 80, Midland. Guest speaker will be John Capadona. The topic will be on why it matters and how it relates to gardening in West Texas. To select a date to attend or more information, visit tinyurl.com/2p8wjra2. Ballet Showcase. Midland Festival Ballet School Showcase has been scheduled for 7 p.m. May 16th at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, 1310 North FM 1788 Midland. Doors open at 6 p.m. For tickets or information, visit tinyurl.com/2p82few. Free connectivity for eligible individuals. Access Telecom Affordable Connectivity federally funded program is offering a free 8-inch tablet and accompanying free high-speed internet for 12 months for recipients of SNAP, Medicaid, SSI, HUD, WIC, Veterans and Survivors Pension, Lifeline, and Federal Pell Grant. A one-time $20 activation fee applies. To sign up or for more information, call United Way Representative Jolly Garcia at 432-238-6228. Local News Roundup. Early voting underway. Early voting for the primary runoff is underway. Voters are welcome to call the Elections Office for local information at 498-4030 Odessa or 688-4890 Midland. You may also visit the webpage for early voting schedules. Election Day Vote Centers and Sample Ballots. Ector. https://www.co.ector.tx.us/default. ASPX question Ector County / Elections Midland. https://www.co.midland.tx.us/departments/elections/pages/default.aspx. Secretary of State at https://www.sos.state.tx.us. Pulmonologist team offers post-COVID clinics at MCHS. A local pulmonologist, Dr. Kavar Dar, and his team are operating a post-COVID clinic at Medical Center Health System to help patients who have contracted COVID-19 and are dealing with lingering after effects. Dar and his team are hosting the clinic at Wheatley Stewart Medical Pavilion on the MCHS campus. As a pulmonologist, Dar is certified by the American Board of Internal Medicine, carries a subspecialty in critical care medicine and pulmonary disease. He has treated many COVID patients during the post-infection. Many patients who have contracted COVID continue to struggle with symptoms, even after infection, including headaches, joint pain, cough, shortness of breath, brain fog, heart palpitations, chest pain, skin issues, and more, a news release said. Appointments are mandatory. To be seen, call 432-332-5557 to make an appointment. All insurances are accepted and affordable prices will be made available to those who do not have insurance. Kielbasa smoked meat to donate to food bank. The West Texas Food Bank is excited to have a donation of much-needed protein from the Kielbasa Smoked Meat Company. The donation will be 5,000 pounds of the links of Love Special Sausage, which is an all-pork dinner sausage that is fully cooked, easy to prepare, and, most importantly, delicious. We are so excited to receive this donation of protein at a time when the cost of pork products has skyrocketed due to inflation, Libby Campbell, CEO of the West Texas Food Bank, stated in a press release. Without partnerships like this one, through Kielbasa's Links of Love, many of our neighbors would go without these high-quality, high-protein meats. We cannot thank them enough for this donation. Pioneer Natural Resources donates playhouses. One of Texas's largest oil and natural gas producers is celebrating its 25th anniversary by distributing dozens of employee-built children's playhouses to numerous designations throughout the Midland area, where the company's operations are based. Pioneer Natural Resources is donating 25 of the playhouses to dozens of nonprofits, schools, libraries, and museums. Some destinations include the West Texas Food Bank, Midland Public Library, and Bynum School, and the Museum of Southwest, among others. The company, headquartered in Dallas, is donating 10 additional playhouses to the North Texas-based Irving Family Advocacy Center, a nonprofit that provides free counseling and education services for victims of crime, domestic violence, and families with high-risk juveniles. For weeks, teams of Pioneer employees donated their time and talents to design, paint, and assemble the playhouses, with each featuring its own look and style. The Museum of the Southwest, for example, requested an outer space theme because its playhouse will go inside an on-site planetarium, a news release said. For Pioneer lead maintenance technician Brent Schuler, working on his team's playhouse, a colorful structure destined for Big Brothers, Big Sisters of the Permian Basin, was one way to thank Pioneer for taking care of him after a cancer diagnosis last year. He said the company's involvement in charitable projects like this demonstrates that Pioneer is a family, not a workplace, the release said. To mark both its 25th anniversary milestone and Permian Basin Gives Day, Pioneer presented two of the playhouses on Tuesday to the West Texas Food Bank, which has forged an enduring partnership with the company. Since its founding in 1997, Pioneer has established itself as a state and regional leader in oil and gas exploration, industry innovation, and production throughout its growth in Texas as a large independent energy company. Among its enduring missions has been a deep devotion to community philanthropy and volunteerism. One playhouse recipient is the Sibley Nature Center, a 49-acre preserve in Midland's Hogan Park that celebrates the region's natural history by offering a broad range of educational programs to visitors. The center's playground will be placed in an educational garden and serve as an extension of its gardening program. Distributing most of the project's 35 playhouses in the Midland area again demonstrates Pioneer's corporate giving focus as a 100% Permian Basin family. The company closed out 2021 by donating 35 acres of land in November to Midland Habitat for Humanity, valued at around $2 million, and followed less than a month later with a pledge of $2.5 million toward a partnership aimed at redeveloping 120 acres of Hogan Park. Death notices for Tuesday, May 17th. Elijah Madrid Barrera, 23, died Sunday, May 15th in Odessa, services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Martin Huguin Caballero Andrews. Martin Huguin Caballero, 77, died Sunday, May 15th in Midland. Services are pending with American Heritage Midland.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.